Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we've got a message for you out of 1 Chronicles chapter 19. You know, that might be a book that you don't read very often, but there is some really good material, something very encouraging here for us today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 19, we are going to preach a message on the results of courage. The results of courage. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, let's read from verse 6 down to verse 15. The Bible says, "And when the children of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanan and the children of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire them chariots and horsemen out of Mesopotamia and out of Syria Maacah and out of Zobah. So they hired 32,000 chariots, and the king of Maacah and his people, who came and pitched before Medeba, and the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array before the gate of the city. And the kings that were come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him, before and behind, he chose out of all the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered under the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will help thee. Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. And let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. So Joab and the people that were with him drew nigh before the Syrians unto the battle, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they likewise fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered into the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem." Now today, our sermon is on the results of courage. And our key verse in this passage is verse 13, 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13. "Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. And let the Lord do that which is good in his sight." A little history. What happened earlier in the chapter is that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son came to reign in his stead. And so David actually sent some people, some messengers, to comfort Nahash's son, Hanan, after his father's death. Well, the princes of the land misunderstood David's intentions and said they've come to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land. So Hanan treated them terribly and sent them back ashamed. And King David said, "We'll just wait at Jericho in the meantime. The children of Ammon recognized that they had made themselves odious, the Bible says. In other words, to stink. before David. And so they went ahead and prepared. You know, we've made David mad, so there's no doubt he's going to come after us. Let's go ahead and get some reinforcements in here and prepare for a possible fight. So Ammon paid 1,000 talents of silver and hired 32,000 chariots. Okay, all these were Syrians. So they got together, and then they set themselves in array. Well, Joab, the general, was then charged with the responsibility of having to fight them. And so he divided, because they were set before and behind, he divided his forces in two. And he assigned a portion of his forces to Abishai, his brother. And he said, okay, you fight against the Ammonites, and I will fight with my men against the Syrians. Okay, and then he says in verse 12, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. In other words, let's just say, because it doesn't give us the division of the numbers, but let's say they had 20,000 men fighting, as an example. Then they each, let's say, took 10,000 men. Joab is basically saying, if you can handle your fight with 10,000 men, and I can't handle my fight with 10,000 men, then have some of your men come over to help me. In other words, to balance against the attack, because you may still be able to hold off the attack and win with 9,000 or 8,000, and the reinforcements on my end will give me, instead of 10,000, 11,000 or 12,000, and then suddenly I'm going to be stronger to oppose the force that I'm fighting. Okay, that's all that's going on there. It doesn't mean you leave all those guys and then come over and fight with me, because then that enemy that Abishai was fighting, the Ammonites, would just simply come and ambush him and take him. So he's trying to balance his forces against the strength of the enemy is what he's trying to do. And then he gives this instruction before the fight in verse 13. He says, be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. Well, with that kind of courage, they fought. And the Syrians fled, and then the Ammonites fled, and Joab came back to Jerusalem. So basically, we see in this that courage really paid off. We are looking, therefore, at the results of courage that you can find in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13. When Joab and Abishai were getting ready to fight against the Ammonites and the Syrians, Joab encouraged Abishai with verse 13. Be of good courage. Let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. Now, this is a fight that the Ammonites provoked, and they hired the Syrians to help them. So when Joab saw that he was facing two enemies, as he said, before and behind, he knew they had to be encouraged for the fight. And it takes courage to fight a battle like these men and their armies fought. Without it, you can't win. You can't. Now we, that's you and me, constantly face spiritual battles in our lives. We are constantly faced with opposition, similar to what happened to David's men, where the devil is mocking Christians and tempting Christians and bringing Christians into snares and reproaches and other things like that. The flesh is relentless. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The world is an enemy of God, and therefore an enemy of God's people. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So you got a real problem here, that in that you are constantly faced before and behind with the flesh and the devil and the world and other people that are being used by the flesh and by the devil and by the world to beat you, to fight you, to attack you. All right, so what we're looking at in this text today then is we are looking at the benefits or the results of the courage that Joab and Abishai had. That's what we're looking at. And so we're going to go and look at three aspects of the results of courage that come from this text. First of all, the results of courage are vigor. Notice when they divided up, Joab in verse 14, and the people that were with him drew nigh before the Syrians unto the battle, and they fled before him. And then when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they took off. They left. In other words, courage gives you strength to fight. It is invigorating. Discouragement, on the other hand, saps that strength out of you. In other words, discouragement causes you to be defeated before you ever enter the battle. It's like giving up before you ever start. And in this case, your courage comes from knowing that you are fighting a battle that the Lord is interested in. In other words, the Lord wants you to fight against the flesh, and he wants you to be able to fight with courage, and he wants you to win, and he wants you to fight against worldliness and separate yourself from worldliness, and he wants you to fight against the devil and win in those battles against the devil. Now, you recognize in a fight against the devil, it's the Lord that has to win that fight, but you have to be sober and you have to be vigilant, because the devil is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You know, he's not expecting you to go hand to hand, but you have to be invigorated. You have to have courage, and that courage has got to give you strength to stand in there. When the Lord gets involved in the fight, he becomes your strength. Now, I want to ask you something. Look in your own life and ask yourself this question. How many fights have I lost because I was discouraged? How many fights have you lost because you were discouraged? Listen, if a person is playing in an athletic competition and he's discouraged about his possibilities of winning, he's not going to win. I mean, under normal circumstances. He's already beat himself before he enters the battle. Haven't you ever sensed that chemistry in your body? Let's say you're facing a final exam and you're not sure that you have finished preparing for that exam. And then it's the day of the test, and you are heading over to the classroom to sit down and take the test. And there is this chemical that releases in your body. I mean, I call it that. It's some kind of a thing that we call dread. And you dread that thing, and it just zaps all of your energy. And you're thinking, man, there is no way I'm going to be able to pass this test. There's no way I'm going to be able to face this interview. There is no way that I'm going to be able to defeat this enemy. There is no way this sin in my life has been kicking me every single time that I have taken it on to try to quit, and I lose every time. You know what your problem is? You're discouraged. And you're losing the fight before you ever start. Listen, when Joab encouraged Abishai to go into this battle, he didn't say, man, I'm scared to death, brother. There's a real good possibility. We're facing 32,000 chariots. We're facing the Ammonites. We're facing the Syrians. They have us before and behind. I don't think there's any way we're going to win this battle. If he had started that conversation with Abishai that way, you know what? There's a real good possibility the outcome of this war would have been totally different. But we got our forces, they have their forces, the battles are in array. So he looked at his brother and he said, be of good courage. There's an invigorating strength that comes with that charge to be of good courage, and you need it. You have been kicked around by your flesh so long, you don't think there's any way you can beat whatever habit that you face, whatever sin you've been dealing with, whatever fear you've been trying to overcome. The dread is winning every time. You have actually got a rut in your life that when you face the enemy, you just happen to run to that little trench right there, and you're stuck. Listen, the devil is a formidable foe. He's way more than you can handle, and he is way more than I can handle. But with courage, we get the Lord involved in that battle. And listen, the devil is no match for our king. And so if you don't lose the battle before you ever fight, you give the Lord a chance to win that victory for you. You need the vigor that comes from courage. Let me show you something else, okay? The results of courage are not only vigor or strength that comes to face the enemy and face the fight, but the results of courage are also valiance. Joab actually uses the word in the verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13, be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. Notice he says, let us behave ourselves valiantly, and he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly. He says, be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. In other words, the results of courage are not only vigor to give you strength for the fight, but they are, the results of courage are also valiance. That is, that your courage is manifested in bravery which other people can see. Other people, he says here, for our people, other people are encouraged to stay with you in the fight when they see your valiance. I mean, how many people are ready to quit and give up if only you would quit? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, people are watching you. And if you give up, if you become discouraged, if you stop, then what happens is other people look at that and say, well, if he couldn't win the battle, there's no way that I can. And they quit too. You wound a weaker brother's conscience. Bo Schembechler, coach of Michigan for 20 years, wrote a book, and it had to do with coaching and leadership principles and so forth like that. Excellent book. All right, in that book, he talked about a season. The team had had like a 50-50, 5-5 conference season the year before, and he'd decided after careful analysis that the problem was the fundamentals, and so he took his team and went through unmerciful strengthening exercises during spring training and unmerciful blocking and tackle exercises through the spring training. Then they came back in August with the two-a-days and more strengthening and more of the hard hitting and blocking and more of the hard hitting and tackling and really working on those basic fundamentals hard. And several of the team members were saying later, I was just looking for one man to quit. I was so ready to quit, but I didn't want to be the first man. Because I knew that if I quit, I could never deal with it. But if another man, listen, if another man would have quit, I'd have quit right then. And my question is, how many people are ready to quit and give up if only you would quit? You see what I'm saying? In other words, the results of courage or valiance, you become brave, and suddenly somebody else who was ready to chicken out says, well, if he can stay in the fight, I'll have to stay in the fight because I'm certainly not going to be the first one to quit. Well, let me word the question a different way. How many people are encouraged to stay in the fight because you haven't quit? You see, when David was living down there in Ziklag after he'd run from Saul, he'd been down there for over a year, and then there was an attack by Israel against King Achish, and so King Achish started to go over there to fight, and he wanted David and his men to be his personal bodyguard, and the princes decided that, you know, this isn't going to be a very good deal at all, Achish. We need to send David back. So they'd been gone for 3 days or so, and David and his men were basically kicked out of the army and went back to Ziklag and found out that their city, had been attacked by the Amalekites, and their wives and their children and all their possessions had been stolen. And when David's men saw that they had been ransacked and their city had been burned out by the Amalekites, they were ready to stone David. I mean, they were like, you've had it, pal. You're the one that led us into this. You're the one that led us out of our own country. And now our wives and children and possessions are gone. We're going to kill you. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, you know what happened after David encouraged himself in the Lord, after he got up some courage? You know what happened? The men who were ready to stone him became encouraged, and then they decided to fight with him instead of against him. And you know what they did? They didn't just fight for each other. Joab said, behave ourselves valiantly for our people, but they also decided to fight valiantly for their city. And Joab said to Abishai, let us behave ourselves valiantly for the cities of our God. And they fought for their city. And you know what happened? They recovered everything that the Amalekites had taken. They recovered all their wives, they recovered their children, and they recovered all of their possessions. Why? Valiance. Valiance. One man, David, became encouraged in the Lord, and the result of his courage implanted the heart of those men that were with him of valiance, of bravery, to go after their wives and after their children and win that battle. So the results of courage are vigor. You get a supernatural strength, an understanding that you're in a fight that God can help you win, and you stay in the fight. Valiance, because you encourage other people to fight, either along with you or their own battles, and not give up because they see that you haven't given up. And then this, the results of courage are vigor, valiance, and victory. Victory. Courage keeps you fighting in the battle until you emerge victorious. Look again in 1 Chronicles chapter 19. And verse 13, he said, be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly, and for our people, and for the cities of our God, watch it, and let the Lord do. In other words, Joab understood, hey man, this is a battle, and we know how to fight, but this is one God has to get involved in. Let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. In other words, if it's good in his sight that we lose, we lose. If it's good in his sight that we win, we win. Either way, the Lord has accomplished through us what was good in his sight, and that's a victory. You see, courage keeps you fighting in the battle until you emerge victorious. In other words, whenever there's a fight that comes your way, the Lord has something that he wants to accomplish in the fight, something that is, as Joab said, good in his sight. And if you don't enter the battle with courage, you know what's going to happen? You're going to give up before the Lord has accomplished what he wants to do. I mean, generally speaking, you're ready to quit before the Lord is ready for you to quit. You might claim victory at a place that's way short of where the Lord wants to go in the fight. That's why Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he said to the Corinthians, he said, quit you like men. Well, men don't quit. So you're probably looking at that and saying, well, how in the world could he exhort them to quit like men when men don't quit? Well, men do quit at a point. They quit when the job is done. In business or in work, we call it quitting time. There comes a time when you have completed the tasks of the day, you have fulfilled your hours, you have arrived at quitting time, and then you quit. And you don't quit until you get to quitting time. I've watched this so much. I've, you know, been around people that are in contracting and people that are in farming and people that are in various types of labor and various types of management and those kind of things. There are a lot of people that quit before the day is up. Lots and lots of people, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, their mind is gone. 5 o'clock, they leave. There's been an hour and a half of lacking productivity at the end of the day. Why? They quit before the day was done. Okay? Paul says, you don't want to do that. Quit you like men. And Joab is telling Abishai in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13, you got to stay with this thing until the Lord does that which is good in his sight. That is, you and I need to remain steadfast until the job that we are up against, or the enemy that we are up against, is done. Okay? Lots and lots of people stop short in dealing with their enemies. And I'm talking about with the flesh. Now, you're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. I understand that. We're going to have a glorified body one day. But the working of the Spirit of God in our lives consistently is conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you stop short of defeating a sin in your life because you lack courage, then you are not accomplishing in your life, and the Lord is not accomplishing in your life that which is good in His sight. Courage. Courage will allow you to stay in there until you get the victory, till you defeat the enemy. Okay? So don't become discouraged. Discouragement has put more preachers out of the ministry than about anything else that we can imagine. And when the devil gets a preacher discouraged, that's how he gets him to quit. So I know how it is on my front. I'm just trying to encourage you on your front again. Your fight against the world, against the flesh, against the devil, against sin in your life. Get some courage. Encourage yourself in the Lord. It will invigorate you. You know what it'll do? It'll put some bravery and valiance in some people that are watching you. And you know what it'll do? It'll bring about a victory in your life. Listen, courage is terribly deficient these days. And partly because men don't want to fight. Now, spiritual battles are against you all the time. They don't go away. And if you win a spiritual battle, you're going to have another one to face. A lot of men just get tired of that. And they don't want to fight the spiritual battles against our enemies anymore. But let me tell you something. You've got to continue to fight. And you must fight with courage. You know what I think part of this megachurch movement, this modern movement is all about? I think men that are pastoring now have given up the fight. They've lost courage. But they don't want to lose the crowd. And so what they've done is they've gone ahead and given in to their enemies. Let the devil have a piece of the action. Let the flesh have some of the action. Let the world have some of the action. Bring them all in. You know, if you can't, that's what the old adage was. If you can't beat them, join them. Bring all the world in so you can keep up the crowd. And you know what that is? That's just a bunch of discouraged Christians in there. And I'm telling you what, they don't have the moral courage to fight their spiritual battles anymore. They've just thrown in the towel, said, we're going to live with this and wait till Jesus comes. You know something? I pray that you haven't done that, or if you have, I pray you will encourage yourself in this message and begin to fight your spiritual battles again, because we don't want our enemies to win.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.